I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, a young Seattle rapper who recently found God, became a born-again Christian, was gunned down while walking into church with his family. We'll have the latest. Plus, a recovering leftist praises President Donald Trump's plan to end homelessness. And is the mainstream media turning on Governor Bob Ferguson? That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I will not lie to you. It's going to be a heavy show today. We'll try to have fun, as always, a little later in the episode. But I'm sure this has been weighing on you guys over the weekend, as it has been weighing on Nicole and I. Just cannot stop thinking about it. After our show on Thursday, there was news that outside Pursuit Church in Seattle, there'd been a shooting. And Pursuit Church has been in the news nationally quite a bit because they were involved. They were the Christians who were, trying to have a worship rally at Cal Anderson Park when they were met with Antifa activists. And so certainly, we've become close, I think, with the pastor at Pursuit and have had him on the show. So they were having a church picnic when a young man named LeBron Giovon was clearly targeted and shot and killed right in front of his wife and small child as he was walking into the church late Thursday. And that, in and of itself is horrifying and sad enough for this young man to have been gunned down in cold blood while he's going to church for a picnic. Just an absolutely horrifying story. But certainly the more that has come out about LeBron and about the efforts that he'd made just in the last couple weeks to try to change his trajectory in life and turn to God and turn to the church, it's just nothing short of heartbreaking. We're going to get into some of the details of this, but our friend Jonathan Cho went down as soon as the 911 calls really started coming in about this shooting outside the church, and he filed this report.
Surveillance video shows a white Hyundai Elantra pulling up Thursday evening to Pursuit Seattle, where a church barbecue was just getting underway.
And did he get out of the car to fire the shots?
A masked gunman jumps out and unloads a hail of gunfire at LeBron Giovon, killing him instantly on the sidewalk in the University District. Giovon is out of frame in the video.
Corner? Okay. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
That's his wife and young child fleeing from the scene, somehow getting away unscathed.
This person was the only person who was harmed.
It's unclear why Giovon was targeted, but church leaders say his rough past may have played a role in what appears to be a gangland-style shooting.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of homicides. That's clearly a hit. It's clearly targeted, and it appears to be a gang-style shooting. Certainly to us, and I think to the police department as well, that white Hyundai Elantra they were looking for was driven just a short distance away to another church property where it was dumped and lit on fire. And so police are still actively trying to find the suspects. There's at least two of them in this case. Pursuit Church, meanwhile, has put out a $50,000 reward for information. They've also started a GoFundMe to help the family. But I think one of the reasons why this homicide, with all the homicides that we see happen in the city of Seattle and Washington State, has hit people so hard is LeBron had just started to turn his life around. You heard Jonathan Cho reference in there that, people at the church said he had a rough past. And LeBron was a street rapper, and he rapped about gangbanging. That's what he rapped about. And I understand that some people rap about gangbanging and they're not gangbanging at all, but it did seem as if, he was involved in that lifestyle. And he just, in the last month or so, found God, was a born-again Christian. I have a video from him that I'm going to play, one of his last posts on Instagram, in a moment. But last night outside Pursuit Church, there was a candlelight vigil for LeBron and for his family. And inside, Pastor Russ I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm going to play a couple minutes of it because I was just in tears watching it this morning. Gave a very powerful statement to the congregation and to members of the community who had come out about the loss of LeBron and about the life that he was trying to lead.
LeBron had just gotten married on Tuesday. He was set to receive the keys to his new apartment on Friday. and was murdered in cold blood at our church on Thursday evening. It's unthinkable that this would happen at a church in America in the year 2025. Even criminals supposedly have a code of honor. You don't shoot a man in broad daylight while he's at a house of worship with his wife and kid. With the crowd of people who had gathered and the amount of bullets that were fired, it is a miracle that this shooting did not result in a mass casualty event, and I hope to God I never have to read a statement like this again. Pursuit announced on Friday a $50,000 reward for any information that would lead to the arrest of the individuals responsible for this heinous crime. 76% of homicides in Seattle go unsolved. So we are praying today that justice will come quickly to those who perpetrated this unspeakable crime. Additionally, Pursuit has launched a GoFundMe for LeBron's family. And in just the last 48 hours, we've raised close to $50,000 to help them during this time of crisis. Over the last number of years, we have seen countless people get born again, baptized, discipled, and trained across our three campuses. And LeBron was one of those people. Just 2 months before he was shot and killed, LeBron made Jesus the Lord and Savior of his life. And in fact, his last post on Instagram before his life was tragically cut short was an invite to the young adult service for that Thursday evening. The thugs who committed this crime were trying to send a message. No church is safe. No house of worship is sacred. And the enemy would love for us to back down and hide, but that is simply not who we are.
So LeBron Giovanni, as I mentioned, he's a Seattle rapper. You might be wondering, is that his real name? No, his real name is Christopher LeBron Castleberry. And you might look, I saw a lot of comments about this over the weekend. You know, I've been posting about this since it happened on Thursday and the updates going out. And I'll be honest, I was disappointed with a lot of the responses to it. You know, the kind of once a gangbanger, always a gangbanger. And again, I don't know the extent of sort of his gangbanging lifestyle. I know what he used to rap about. You know, I also have a brain and I know that you don't get gunned down, you know, in broad daylight in a targeted hit for no reason. You know, I understand that. I mean, it doesn't mean it's a good reason, but certainly someone was upset with him for something. You know, and I understand, you know, we don't cover every gangbang shooting that happens in the city of Seattle. We cover very few of them because when you're involved in a lifestyle like that, you're at a higher risk for being shot and killed. We see this all the time. Today's shooter is tomorrow's victim when it comes to these young people who are caught up in a gang lifestyle. But, you know, I preach law and order a lot on this show. And, you know, I also think that if you believe in law and order and what we talk about, you have to believe that there's redemption for people. You have to believe that there is a pathway for people to be able to turn their lives around and to be able to do better, or else, and we have to be willing to celebrate that, because, or else, why do we call for it? You know, why do we talk about law and order and consequences and personal responsibility? You know, this is someone who very clearly had an epiphany, had decided, and I've said it many times, I'm not religious, but I understand the power of redemption and I understand the power of believing in something bigger than yourself and what that can do for someone, especially if you're someone who has lost their way in life, who's trying to find meaning in their life and find something positive to grab a hold of. And I just, you know, I think we all have to celebrate that whenever there's anybody, regardless of, you know, how deep they've gone down the criminal justice system, or, you know, if they're involved in a gangbanger lifestyle, if they want to try to get out of it and pull themselves out of it to better their life and their child's life and their family's life, you know, to just sort of dismiss it as a once a gangbanger, always a gangbanger is sort of heartbreaking to me. And I wanted to play, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but again, I'll play a big chunk of it. So on his Instagram account, this was posted July 19th. And you see this shift in the types of posts that he's putting out there. He used to rap about gangbanging, and he gets on his Instagram July 19th, and he says he's not going to do it anymore.
What's going on, y'all? Just to follow up on that post I made, I didn't want to seem all dramatic, but I mean, it is dramatic. It's a dramatic change in my life. Yeah, I'm taking all my old music down. You know, I was going to take a lot longer to make this video. I just been having so much to do here lately that I don't know when I'm going to have the time to really sit down and iron it out and make a perfect video. So I'm going to just tell y'all right now, I gave my life to Christ, and some people are going to not like that. And that's okay that some people are going to not follow me, because I don't want to push a negative type of music anymore. And I just want to apologize to anybody I've led astray. You know, I'm sorry for that. I know that I'm a leader, that I've had an impact on a lot of people's life. And I'd like to say that I've had a positive impact too. But man, you can only be so positive without God. So I'm gonna start posting a lot of things about God. Everything's gonna be about God. Well, like I said, I know some people aren't really gonna like that, but I know there's a lot of people that need that. There's a lot of people who want that. And I'm here for y'all, and I'm here for those who don't like it too. It's all love. This isn't anything to judge anybody. This is my own convictions. This is how I'm living my life now. So that means, you know, I'm not smoking weed no more. And it means a lot of things that, you know, as if you continue to follow me and you don't unfollow me, you're gonna find out. But it's all good things. It's good news. It's the best news in the world. I promise you that.
And you can see how happy he is. You can see how much joy that brings him. You know, I don't want to push these negative things anymore. I don't want to influence these young men into some gangbanger lifestyle by rapping about that. I'm going to delete my old music. I'm going to put out new music. And we're actually going to end the show today with one of the last songs that he put out after he decided to start rapping about his faith as opposed to gangbanging. And one of the things that I personally take from this, you know, it's never too late. You know, life is short, right? Life is fleeting. You never know when it's going to end. And it is never too late to live the life that you want to live. You are never too far gone to live the life that you want to live, whatever that means. If it means you find religion, if it means that, you know, you work to be a better person in some other way. And so, you know, this is such a heartbreaking story on so many fronts. I mean, you know, just at the core, having someone shot to death in front of their wife and child while they're heading into a church is horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. But all the things he was going through in his life in the past month, and look, you know, I know he found God and ultimately, you know, tried to change his ways, and it didn't save his life for whatever reason. His past looks like it came back to haunt him, but he was trying, and he was trying to be a better person, and he left this world a better person than he was a month ago or 2 months ago. And I think that's something we have to celebrate. You know, I want to talk about the criminal aspect of this. So right now, you know, police are still looking for the suspects and certainly for a motive and what happened here. But this was just one of several shootings that happened in the last couple days in the city of Seattle at a time when we're being told, oh, crime is down, crime is down. The chief of police, Sean Barnes, put out a statement on the Seattle Police Department's website saying a statement on recent incidents of gun violence in Seattle. And it was a pretty long post. I won't read the whole thing to you, but he said, over the past 4 days, the Seattle community tragically experienced 3 separate incidents of gun violence, resulting in the loss of lives. On Thursday, we were confronted with a targeted homicide occurring in front of a place of worship. He said in the early morning hours Sunday, 2 additional homicides occurred. The first stemmed from an unauthorized and unregulated gathering, which culminated in the loss of another community member. Shortly thereafter, a 3rd homicide was reported involving an individual discovered deceased in a parking lot, potentially linked to a vehicle collision or altercation. We also know that there was a shooting that happened right down in the brand new waterfront area in Seattle that they just opened a couple weeks ago. There was, it seems like, 2 homeless people. One guy pulled out a knife who was in a wheelchair. The other guy shot him. He didn't die, but he's in pretty grave condition. So all this is happening, right? And you have these very high profile incidents, and 4 shootings in a couple days, and, you know, 3 people killed in a couple days in the city of Seattle is a big deal. You know, we're not a Baltimore. We're not a Chicago. I don't want to compare us to those places, but we're supposed to be a world-class city. And we have crimes like this happening in front of churches, down at the waterfront where they just opened, where they've had an increased police presence. So all of that is happening, enough for the Seattle police chief to post this long post about all of the instances of violence that we have going on. What do you think Governor Bob Ferguson is posting about? Besides Orange Man bad and obsessing over Donald Trump for the last few days. All this is happening. This man has the audacity to send out a post that was a little bit older than that. From King 5 News, the headline of the story he shared, crime rates drop in Washington for 2024, annual report finds. He said, this is encouraging news. I appreciate our law enforcement professionals working hard to keep our communities safe. This is something he just posted that this morning. Think about this, okay? This morning, after all the violence over the weekend, very high profile, making national news, murder on the steps of a church, shooting down on the brand new waterfront, two other fatalities in the course of 4 days, our Governor Bob Ferguson has the audacity to send out a link to a news article about crime rates dropping in Washington state in the year 2024. He says, we must keep this momentum. That's why the $100 million we secured this year for police hiring is so important, which is just a lie. We've already debunked that. He didn't secure $100 million for police funding. He's an absolute liar. But think about this. Now, look, even if that's true that the crime rates in 2024 were down, and King 5 News did an article on it, given everything that happened over the weekend, don't you think that a governor who is self-aware would note the violence that occurred over the weekend, or would maybe put off bragging about the crime rate dropping in 2024, maybe put one post out about the born-again Christian shot to death in front of his, killed instantly in front of his wife and small child, brand new wife of 2 days, and small child in front of a church in Seattle, shooting on the waterfront. Don't you think he would post something about any of it? Not one post. Not one post from Governor Bob Ferguson. Well, all these headlines are in the news. And not just the murders. All sorts of crimes occurring over the weekend in the state that he's supposed to be the governor for. And he doesn't have jack shit to say about it. Instead, he wakes his happy ass up Monday morning and decides to push out the narrative that crime is dropping. Crime rates are down for 2024. Yay me. You weren't even the governor in 2024. First of all. And then brag about a debunked line of funding that he says is for $100 million for hiring more police officers, when we know that there's a lot of strings attached and not $1 of the $100 million has to be spent hiring new police officers. This guy is shameless, and he is such a liar. Such a liar. And they don't want to, there's no accountability there. So he's governor right now. And instead of talking about the crime happening right now in the last couple days in the state he's supposed to be the governor for, he posts an article bragging about crime rates dropping in 2024 when he wasn't even in office yet. It's insane. And so he's also, you know, not, he didn't post about a single one of these crimes that happened. What do you think he posted about? Oh my gosh, Donald Trump, Planned Parenthood. Donald Trump, we're going to sue him again. Donald Trump, climate change. Donald Trump, the devastating impact of tariffs on businesses. One of his last posts, Washington state has already been harmed by tariffs. Port traffic is down. Agricultural shipments are down. And costs for businesses are up. It gets worse today. I will do everything I can to help businesses and workers navigate Donald Trump's destructive tariffs. Says the guy who just signed the largest tax increase in state history into law, $9.5 billion, the bulk of that, taxes on businesses. He has quite literally no shame. He cannot stop lying to you. He cannot stop manipulating reality. All he cares about, because it's got him this far, all he cares about is Donald Trump. Not the murders happening on the streets of his state. Not the businesses fleeing Washington state because they can no longer survive under the weight of increased taxes. Doesn't want you to remember that just 2 months ago, he signed the largest tax increase in state history into law, targeting businesses big and small. Instead, he's going to say he's going to help businesses and workers navigate Donald Trump's destructive tariffs. And look, are tariffs probably having an impact on Washington businesses in a port city? Yeah. That's okay to talk about. That's okay to admit. Is it okay to talk about that while completely ignoring all the taxes you just put on businesses big and small? No, and I have to wonder, like, I speak to the Democrats and the vote blue no matter who. When is it enough? When do you see it? When are you tired of being manipulated and gaslit and lied to? When is the Donald Trump stuff exhausting enough for you to prioritize other things? When are you going to be willing to think for yourself and say, hey, Bob Ferguson, I know I voted for you, but you're posting about crime rates after we just had a really deadly, bloody, horrible weekend. Can you maybe address those things too? Hey, Bob Ferguson, I know I voted for you, and hey, I don't like Donald Trump either, but the tariffs aren't the only things hurting businesses. All those taxes you passed are hurting businesses too. Why is that so difficult? Why is that so hard? Why are people okay having the wool pulled over their eyes? I just don't get it. Although I will say, one of the biggest culprits, as I've talked about many times, is what? Is the media. Because there's no criticality of Bob Ferguson when he says and does these things. He gets to do it unquestioned, unchallenged. The media just puts out whatever narrative Democrats want them to put out. But are there cracks in this relationship starting to form? I think maybe so. I was on social media over the weekend, and I saw one of the longest-serving political reporters in the state of Washington, a guy named Jerry Kornfield, post two things on X about Bob Ferguson. And I thought, has Jerry Kornfield, is the mainstream media starting to turn on Bob Ferguson? Jerry posted these two things. Washington Governor Bob Ferguson has said he would not be governor without Mike Webb, who is the disgraced, resigned, former right-hand man of Bob Ferguson, who we did a story on last week. Apparently, Bob Ferguson invited him on the state airplane a couple weeks ago, despite the fact Mike Webb resigned and shamed over his treatment of women in the office. And Bob Ferguson's staff was so mad about it, they secretly recorded him and leaked it to the media. Jerry says, well, Ferguson might not be governor for a second term because of Mike Webb after reading what Jim Bruner and Melissa Santos said the governor told staff on the subject of his ex-aide. So here's Jerry Kornfield questioning whether Bob Ferguson will even have a second term because of this scandal around Mike Webb. I was like, that's interesting. And then Jerry Kornfield announces that his publication, the Washington State Standard, is adding an item to their Saturday newsletter. It's called Where's Governor Bob Ferguson? He says, this is serious. Since he's not proactively sharing his schedule, we'll try to recap places he's gone, things he's done, flag me on items. So indeed, on Saturday, the Washington State Standard started an item in its weekly newsletter. It's called Where's Governor Bob Ferguson? Because Governor Bob Ferguson has for so long been treated with kid gloves by the legacy news that he decided he wasn't going to share his public schedule, which is something governors have always done. I did it under Inslee all the time. Hey, where's the governor going to be this week? After all, he works for us, and they'd immediately send the governor's schedule back. Bob Ferguson, he's not doing it. So he started to piss off the news reporters who are supposed to cover what's happening with the governor's office. And so now they've turned on him and they've launched this segment called Where's Governor Bob Ferguson? And in the launch of it, they were not kind to Bob Ferguson. They wrote, with most jobs, you have to give your boss an idea of where you are and what you're doing during the workday. Governor Bob Ferguson, who works for the people of Washington State, has not been doing this consistently during his first 7 months in office. Ferguson has mostly abandoned the practice of sending out advisories. The rare calendar updates that do go out are typically incomplete and sometimes arrive after the fact. They go on to write, why does this matter? Washingtonians pay Ferguson's $218,000 a year salary. It's not unreasonable to think they should have some window into what he's doing during the week, the events he's turning out for, who he's meeting with. It's a reflection of his priorities. They go on to write, the handful of public appearances Ferguson has given notice about since the legislative session and its subsequent flurry of bill signings wrapped up have often focused on criticizing the president or congressional Republicans. But the governor's responsibilities extend beyond reacting to federal policy. So here you have one of the most like straight-laced political reporters in the state, who was a longtime reporter for the Everett Herald, went down as working for the Washington State Standard, and I've had my dust-ups with Jerry Kornfield. But Now he's calling out Bob Ferguson, saying, oh, maybe he won't even get a second term because he's handling this scandal within his office so poorly. Oh, you know, we have to do this whole article on where's Bob Ferguson because he's not releasing his calendar, which is something every governor has done, no problem in the world. And all he's doing is reacting to federal policy when there's a lot more happening in the state of Washington that needs his attention than simply reacting to federal policy in Donald Trump. Now, I'm not going to give the Standard too much credit for this because this is the kind of criticality that Bob Ferguson should have had to operate under all 12 years that he was Attorney General of the state of Washington. But instead, he got away, courtesy of the legacy media, with obsessing over Donald Trump for much of those 12 years. And that propelled him into the governor's office, where he figured, well, why wouldn't I just spend my time in the governor's office obsessing over Donald Trump because it got me this far? But maybe the cracks are showing. Because we're not going to change the course of Washington state until the legacy media starts to do its job to hold powerful people accountable. And Bob Ferguson is the most powerful person in the state, and Democrats control virtually everything. So doing their jobs means holding Democrats accountable. And you think about the week that Bob Ferguson has had. Cascade PBS, one of the most loony lefty outlets in the state of Washington, published a poll showing Bob Ferguson had record low approval ratings, worse than any governor in the first 6 months in 30 years. And then his buddies at the Seattle Times, who endorsed him, who are rarely critical of him, published leaked audio that Bob Ferguson's own staff recorded of him talking about this ex-aide. And now you've got the state Standard being like, Bob Ferguson's horrible, he won't even tell us where he is, and he's obsessing over Donald Trump. So cracks might be forming between Bob Ferguson and his, I'll call him cronies in the legacy media, and maybe they're not willing to have his back anymore. I don't know how to account for that. I don't know why they couldn't have done that, I don't know, before he was elected governor. But for now, I'll take it, because as much reach as we have and as critical as we are of Bob Ferguson, we know that we need passive news consumers to realize what a crap governor he is, what a horrible leader he is, and how obsessing over Donald Trump is not going to fix the most profound problems that we're dealing with in Washington state. And you can just carbon copy that exact sentiment for Oregon and for California. Same with Gavin Newsom. What's happening with Bob Ferguson is exactly what's happening with Gavin Newsom in California. Utterly obsessed with Donald Trump while his state burns literally and figuratively. And for a long time, the legacy media down there just let him get away with it. And now they're starting to turn on him a little bit. So what we need is for that to continue and for them to realize that, hey, maybe we've let people down. And maybe it takes him personally slighting them, like not giving reporters his public calendar, for them to start covering him critically. And I'm just fine with that. All right. Let's see. Can we, Nicole, I want to switch things around a little bit and go to Future 42. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the left-wing, former left-wing activist I had on the Sunday show, and why he says that Donald Trump's plan to end homelessness is actually a good one. It was a fascinating conversation, so we'll play part of that for you. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to make sure that you get the most possible value out of your home, which is the point, right? And that they can make sure that you get the most eyeballs on your listing, most feet in the door, best offers on the table. Their marketing really is second to none. I mean, you just look at the listings that they put out there versus other listings, and you can tell why they're so good at that. And then they also offer something called the Listing Boost Concierge Service, which I think is really cool, and it takes a lot of stress out of the home selling process. So let's say, you know, you've been living with some things around your house, and you've just dealt with them, but man, I'll tell you what, when you get all that furniture out of there and you start to move, you start to really realize some of the things you've neglected in your own home, and potential buyers are going to notice those things too. So Wes Jones can come in, help you make any necessary cosmetic upgrades that you'll get the value out of on the back end. He'll manage those projects. He can even make sure that you don't have to pay for them until closing, which I know is, I think, sometimes stops home sellers from making upgrades to their home. It's like, I'm not coming out of pocket $10,000, $20,000. Well, Wes can help you with that, and then you pay for it on the back end. So it takes a lot of stress out of the process. So reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. I think this might be one of my top five favorite Sundays with Subscribers interviews we've ever done for a couple reasons. But I had a guy on the show named Andrew Constantino. And Andrew is like the opposite of me. His life has been on a totally different trajectory, but he was an Antifa activist, far leftist, was homeless, was drug addicted, all of these things. And he has now had a red pilling, an epiphany about not only his former life as an activist and what is happening with Antifa right now, but also about the failures to deal with homelessness in Washington State and really elsewhere in the nation. That's the space he works in right now as an outreach worker with homelessness. And he's so fed up with it, he is almost ready to fully buy into President Donald Trump's plan to disband Housing First and harm reduction. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. All right, so of course, just to revisit it quickly, President Donald Trump came out, he signed an executive order to defund, to the extent that they can, Housing First, which is the idea that a lot of West Coast cities push that, oh, let's take these drug addicted homeless people and just drop them into a house and everything will be fine. And it's not fine. The executive order also tries to defund, again, to the extent possible, because all they could really handle is federal funds, this harm reduction model where let's spend money basically helping people get high, which is just, in my opinion, assisted suicide. It also gets into this idea that even some Democrats are starting to get on board with, this idea of involuntary commitment and trying to get some of these people who are truly a threat to themselves and others committed long enough to be able to actually make a difference in their lives. So after this executive order came out, there was a guy named Andrew Constantino, who is a homeless outreach worker. He penned an op-ed in the Seattle Times basically saying, hey, you know, this Housing First and harm reduction stuff, here's why it's not working. And so we invited him on the show and we talked about a couple things. I'll get to his former life as Antifa in a moment, because, man, that was fascinating. But he's like a recovering leftist. And now that he's worked in this space, especially as someone who spent years, you know, on and off again homeless, on and off again using drugs, and working in this space and really seeing what people need, I asked him about President Donald Trump's executive order. And I will say, even knowing he's had a bit of a red pilling, I was kind of surprised by his answer. So do you agree with President Trump's executive order?
Oh, Lord. You know, yes. And I would say...
Is that hard for you to say? you want to get through this together? You want me to hold your hand? Is it fine?
Yeah, Antifa's okay. Going to be waiting for me outside.
Yes, okay.
Well, you know, I think it's a problem where we just look at MAGA or Trump and it's like, this is the devil, you know, yeah. And everything they do is wrong. Have you read it? Just read what it says. Mm-hmm. And it is very reasonable. It is not beyond the pale. And there's plenty of flexibility and room for us to make it work, you know, in our own Seattle way. So, yeah, I think it is a good thing.
What about the involuntary commitment aspect? It's something we've talked about locally, yeah. For sure. Do you believe we need to ramp up involuntary commitment?
Well, yes. And I'll say that, you know, it's like for some people, it's... you know, it's a mental health issue. It's not like them using methamphetamine, you know, but back in the 90s, you know, I'm smoking methamphetamine and, you know, like I told you, I'm out on Aurora, stripped naked, you know, mm-hmm. being chased by shadow people, literally. And I don't, like, I was a mess back then. I don't know how it worked. All I know is that when two of my friends called, I was involuntarily held for 72 hours mm-hmm. and they made sure that I was healthy. I calmed down. I stabilized. They're like, they asked my friends a bunch of questions. Is this normal behavior? You know, is this drug related? And then I had to have a conversation with one of their counselors to get myself out. Basically, you know, I had to pass a sanity check,
yep.
you
yep.
know, and, then they released me with one of my friends mm-hmm. and they gave them, here's a list of advice. You know, he's like, oh, I had to take every knife in the house and set it outside the okay. house. They were like, your friend is dangerous.
Yep.
And they were like, but if he has another episode, you know, then you talk to us again. Mm-hmm. So I go through all that. Whereas now on a regular basis, I care about their well-being, but I also care about the community's well-being.
Yeah.
And I have clients that are recklessly using methamphetamine and they are putting themselves in such a manic state, they are dangerous.
Yeah, and we all know that, right? I mean, and how can you not be a danger to yourself when you're like folded over on a street corner in downtown Seattle near death, it's just mind-boggling to me. And so we need to continue to have these conversations about when is involuntary commitment appropriate. And we don't want to go back to the days of like locking up granny. I always talk about that. And, you know, I'll lock up granny, take everything she owns. You know, it has to be a process, right, that's appropriate. And so, but, you know, how can we not say that these people are a threat to themselves or a threat to other people? And one of the things I appreciate about Andrew is, you know, I hope he doesn't lose his job for coming on our show, certainly. But, you know, he's about nuance. And nuance, this is a complex crisis. And it is, different people need different things. And there's people who need treatment. There's people who need involuntary commitment. And yes, there are people who need a roof over their head. There are. And he and I talked about that. You know, people who are, for instance, really elderly or frail or sick, who, you know, throwing them into some sort of environment like a emergency shelter situation, you know, they're probably going to die there. Like they need something a little more stable, a little more quickly. But that's the problem, is that the West Coast is like completely unable to look at this with nuance. Like, no, just put them all in a house. Like, let's build housing. Let's build affordable housing. And no matter what ails them, let's just shove them into an apartment and see what happens. And it's just ridiculous. And so he's someone who very clearly wants to help people. He wants to save people's lives. He cares about these people he works with on the street. And so for him, even as a recovering leftist, he's willing to work with Donald Trump if it means saving people's lives. Imagine that. Like, yes, I'll work with Donald Trump. Yes, some of his ideas are not bad ideas. And I think that, to me, that's the sign of an honest operator, is someone who can put their dislike for Donald Trump aside long enough to actually read what he's proposing and to say, hey, some of these ideas aren't terrible. We should do some of these things. But then, of course, you got West Coast leaders who, they won't work with Donald Trump on anything. They would literally rather see people die in filth and squalor and despair than dare work with Donald Trump. And that's pretty horrible. Like, that's pretty awful. So I appreciate Andrew's willingness to just say, like, look, politics, all this stuff aside, we've got to help these people, because he used to be one of them. So the other thing, of course, we talked about, look, I have been public enemy number one from Antifa in Seattle for many years. I don't think I am anymore. I would say I'm public enemy, maybe two or three. But poor Jonathan Cho and Katie Davis Court, they're out there all the time. I really think that they've got it worse than me right now. But back in the day, for sure. And I've had quite a few run-ins with Antifa. I've been assaulted a number of times. And so come to find out, Andrew Constantino used to be a member of Antifa. And I was like, you know, it was such a fascinating, like, imagine me sitting next to a member of Antifa sort of hashing it out. And so I had to talk to him about, you know, that, and go back to 2020 and my crew and all these things, and sort of why he was willing, as a member of Antifa who surely did not like me, how he got to the point where he could sit across from me having a great conversation.
So you've known me,
yes.
Of me, right?
Yes.
Back in the 2020 days.
Yeah, and I would have considered you, I don't know, maybe the enemy, you know, kind of like a propagandist. But, and now I love your show.
And I love... See, I'm not so bad, right? Do you ever assault me in wearing you brought with you?
Oh, my mask. Here.
He brought, because he thought I'd enjoy it, the mask he used to wear as Antifa.
Yeah, here you go.
Stop it right this second.
Yeah. See, you know,
would you assault journalists wearing that mask?
As a bunny ears? No, you know, it's because that's what's gone wrong. It's definitely an element of it. It's about intimidating people who would do violence.
Right.
But now it's turned into doing the violence. It's like, you're doing the thing, dude.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to be a defender, and like, you know, people that you see that might be trying to do violence to others, like some kind of right wing, you know, like troublemakers, you're supposed to stand against them and make them scared. But now it's completely flipped. It's like, no, you're the ones who are assaulting people.
Harassing, intimidating,
it's
silencing. It's really wild.
Like, screaming at people.
How did
go kill yourself.
Are you going to kill yourself tonight and be a good boy?
It would be so beautiful to see your bodies hanging from the trees, swinging back and forth.
Yeah.
I can't believe their messaging. You know, it actually completely stuns me. You know, when they, like I said, they're screaming at people, what have you thought about going to kill yourself?
Yeah.
Why don't you go kill yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's what you're saying? Like, what do you represent at that point?
Yeah.
They don't represent anything. And I think that's what he realized, right? Is, I mean, to be out there saying such horrible things, committing acts of violence, like,
you're the fascists. You know, using fear and intimidation to shut people up and to shut down dissent, you're the fascists. You are far closer to the Nazis and Hitler, you know, you want to call me Nazi whatever and Hitler, but you're far closer to what Hitler was trying to accomplish in this like very narrow-minded, everyone must agree with me and we will shut down dissent by any means possible. So I was just tickled that Andrews had a little bit of a red pilling, but that it made me feel good to say I used to think you were the enemy and now I love your show. See you guys. Changing hearts and minds.
There's hope.
This is the reason we call this show Undivided, as divided as I do feel at times. So we loved having Andrew on. Smart guy. I'm glad he's doing this work. I'm glad people like him are down trying to help the homeless in places like Seattle. So if you want to catch that full interview, you can become a subscriber to Undivided and catch all of our editions of Sundays with Subscribers, our exclusive Sunday show. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and just click on the banner that says support the show. Paid subscribers like you guys are the way that we're able to continue to do the show, and we have a lot of fun. All right, that segment was brought to you in partnership with our friends over at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. Again, future42.org. All right, Mama went shopping over the weekend and bought herself a new pair of jeans, and the internet is pissed about it. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. All right, I was killing some time over the weekend, and I was like, oh, let me dip into this local mall, which, totally separate subject, malls are completely dead. It's really sad. Malls are so dead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this even functioning still? Half of these stores are closed. The stores that are in here are kind of weird and niche and whatever it is. But anyway, I'm walking and I see an American Eagle. And I'm like, oh, and they've got the Sydney Sweeney ad. Big poster of it right in the front door. Sydney Sweeney has great jeans. And I was like, oh yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna buy myself some jeans today. So I posted on X a picture of the store I went into. I said I hadn't been to an American Eagle in 20 years and probably never would have gone again had the left not melted down about a blonde woman with blue eyes. I bought a pair of jeans yesterday since they refused to apologize to the woke mob. And look, I can always use a new pair of jeans, but if I can support a company that not only put out an ad knowing there would be backlash, but of course American Eagle has since come out and said, we're not apologizing for it. Like, she does have good jeans, you know? And so I was like, okay, that's enough for me to spend like $40 on a pair of jeans. I'm happy to do that. So I got a lot of support for this post, which it went kind of viral, which I'm kind of surprised about. I was like, just a picture of, you know, an American Eagle ad or whatever. But the meltdowns were crazy. You guys got to look at some of the comments. Like, oh, you're a grifter. You were, you know, all fooled into buying jeans for a company that hates conservative, like all this stuff. I'm like, people, I just bought a pair of jeans. And they're like, oh, what was my favorite response I had from someone was like, God, something like manipulated into buying jeans over something. I'm like, well, I bought the jeans because, you know, I'm a human being with two legs and I do need something to cover my naked bits. But I bought them at American Eagle because, you know, I like to see the woke mob a little sad and melting down. So anyway, if you want to be entertained, go look at the responses to me simply saying that I bought a pair of jeans at American Eagle. But it's so fascinating to me that this has become a controversy, right? And look, Americans love drama. Mainstream news loves drama, all the news articles that have been out saying this is a controversy. And it's like, no, it's only a controversy because you guys say it's a controversy. And then you elevate the voices of like a handful of really mentally disturbed people who are just angered by it. And you know what? I want to elevate their voices too because they're hilarious. So there was a Turning Point USA video. In Minneapolis, there was some anti-Trump event and Turning Point USA went there and asked people about the Sydney Sweeney ad. And I mean, I kind of feel bad. There's a part of me deep inside that feels bad for people who are this bothered by the Sydney Sweeney ad. Let's listen to one of them.
The Sydney Sweeney ad, have you seen it?
Oh, yes, I have.
What are your thoughts?
Trying to
call myself, but that would, Sydney Sweeney has good genes. Really? Like, the eugenics in that. It's dripping with it. And I'm like, no.
Oh, I just can't calm myself down. So that word, eugenics, this is what the left does. They hear a word that somebody says somewhere. Maybe they heard it on MSNBC. And then all of a sudden, that's the word. It's like, oh, eugenics, eugenics. Like, these people had never heard of eugenics in their lives. And now they hear something and they're just so, they're such followers. They can't think for themselves. That all these people who have probably never heard of eugenics or studied eugenics or whatever it is in their entire lives, now they're like robots and they have to talk about eugenics when asked about Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney has good genes. Really? Like, the eugenics in that, it's dripping with it. It's
slighted towards, like, eugenics and comparing the blue jeans to blue jeans.
Did American Eagle just run an ad for eugenics?
That Sydney Sweeney ad is exactly what it sounds like. It's f***ing eugenics. And it's gross as hell to see.
Does Sydney Sweeney know just how eugenicist and awful that ad was? Is she complicit in this, or is she just unaware?
I genuinely would love
white ladies are the
to
worst.
Not be able to see the eugenics coded language in that Sydney Sweeney ad. I wish I couldn't see it.
And I'm sure that your ignorant bliss and that emptiness between your ears must be very relaxing. But it is that deep. The eugenics are right in front of your face.
Good genes pass on to offspring? That American Eagle ad with Sydney Sweeney is literally overt eugenics.
Like, these, you really think all those people knew anything about eugenics before they saw someone say it on the internet? And I'm sorry, but 40 to 55 year old white progressive women are the worst. They're the worst. But you know, Nicole, there's something that's bothering me about that montage you put together. These people talking about eugenics, I feel like something was missing.
If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask. If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask. If you saw the Sweeney ad and agreed that it was bad, it would be also rad to wear a mask.
That's, you know, I agree. If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask.
You better.
Can we play that one more time? Because it's quite catchy.
If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask. If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask. If you saw the Sweeney ad and agreed that it was bad, it would be oh so rad to wear a mask.
Hey!
And also, is she in jail?
Nice. I don't know. Nicole, she in
or
jail?
Like waiting
probably
for somebody outside
of jail. It does look like it. Just for fun, President Donald Trump, apparently, like, somebody was saying Sweeney might be a registered Republican. She's very proficient with a firearm. There was a video of her, you know, out shooting, and she did look quite proficient. President Trump weighing in on the Sydney Sweeney situation.
She's a registered Republican? Oh, now I love her ass. Is that right? Is Sydney Sweeney? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic.
Can we just one more time with the mask song before we move on to national news?
If you're talking about eugenics, wear a mask. If you saw the Sweeney ad and agreed that it was bad, it would be oh so rad to wear a mask.
I love when they just make it very obvious how mentally ill they are. It really makes my job quite easy, unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we've talked about Mamdani, the New York City mayoral candidate, and his admission that he wanted to spend millions of dollars in taxpayer funds to pay for gender reassignment surgeries. Well, apparently his plan is even deeper than that. We'll have that coming up next in National. First, if you haven't taken the First Mark challenge yet, why not? It takes you just a little bit of time and you could save thousands of dollars. And who doesn't need to save thousands of dollars in Bob Ferguson's Washington when they're taxing you up and down? And then you got Jay Inslee's legacy at the gas pump with gas $5 a gallon. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. We all need insurance. So if you're trying to handle your insurance on your own, just don't. Just don't do it. Have FirstMark Insurance do it for you. And it doesn't cost you anything. So that's kind of the no-brainer part of it, is you don't have to, like, just
walk blindly through the insurance world just picking what you think you need. First Mark Insurance can help you out with that. They'll talk to you about your current insurance, go over your insurance needs. They'll go out, they'll shop the market of their market of carriers for you, come back with their recommendations. They might say, hey, you know, the insurance you have is actually just what you need. It's at a great price. We think you should stick with it. And I think that's the sign of an honest company. Or they might come back and say, you know, you're paying way too much for what you have, or you're paying for stuff you don't even need. We've heard from so many Undivided viewers and listeners. I would guess at this point, our listenership is like 80% members of the First Mark family because we heard so many positive stories. Daryl says that they saved him $400 on their current insurance. Jacob says, we recently changed our insurance to your awesome sponsors at First Mark. They saved us $600 on our home and $2,000 a year for our family's cars. They were honest and easy to work with. So we do not get sick of hearing stories like that. So check out First Mark Insurance. Schedule time to take the First Mark Challenge, and you could be our next First Mark Challenge victory story. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. Okay, so New York City is gearing up to elect a socialist as its mayor, which will go great. We all know how that's going to go. He had come out publicly and said that he wanted to spend like $65 million on gender-affirming care, which we know means like, hey, if you want a boob job to feel more feminine, or, you know, have your genitals cut off or something like that, then, you know, we're going to pay for it for you, which is just absolutely crazy. But there was a Democratic Socialist of America conference that some video has come out from, and a man named Daniel Golden, who's a member of New York City's Democratic Socialist of America's steering committee. So he's been working on the Mamdani campaign, and he was explaining in depth. One of Mamdani's plans is to operate a like gender hub. So let me play a couple clips from this Daniel Golden guy. So he says, first of all, it's not just like gender affirming care. They just want free health care for all.
Zoran is literally attempting to do what conservatives say, you know, we want to do, which is provide gender affirming care to anyone who wants it for free. And we're going to like ship people. We're going to fly people in and pay for their hotel rooms. And we're going to do all of the like Fox News stuff. Like we're getting ideas from Fox News. I want to do that. But most importantly is we collaborated with the Zoran Mamdani campaign on his trans rights platform. And what we explicitly wanted to do was use the power of New York City to provide free gender affirming care. And I say free, in case insurance companies decide to boot us off, free gender-affirming care, not just to people in New York City, but across the country.
Yeah, and of course it's not free because taxpayers would be footing the bill for it. But I love at the beginning there where he says, no, all the stuff they say we want to do on Fox News, we actually do want to do that. We do want to give, and we're getting ideas from Fox News like, oh yeah, we should give free gender care to everyone. So they're just outright admitting it, like the, you know, conspiracy conservatives are totally correct, absolutely want to do all these things. And he says that he's been working for years with Mamdani and others in power to try to make this happen.
With Zoran, we're in basically the best possible position to see state power that we can be in because, you know, we're like this, right? DSA has regular meetings with him, let alone his team. His policy director is my friend. I've been working with his campaign manager for well over a year. You know, I have friends who are in his staff.
So, yeah, and he's not hiding it, right? But, you know, he's been, Zoran Mamdani's been trying to distance himself from some of his more extreme policy positions, certainly over the last couple months, like pretending he loves cops, when he has said all these horrible things about cops and called for their defunding. And so when you're approaching an election, you're always trying to moderate yourself to some extent. And so if he's trying to get away from this idea that he'll spend $65 million plus, it might have been more than that, but that's the number that I seem to recall, paying for gender affirming care, so like gender mutilation for people. Now this guy is saying, no, we're working with them. We've been working with them for over a year on this. We want to create these gender hubs. Yes, we want to pay for it. We want to fly people in from other jurisdictions into New York City so they can get their breasts removed or they're moved or their pee-pees cut off or whatever it is. And it's free. It's not free. They want the taxpayers of New York City to pay for it. And it was also talking about, so of course, there are some states where it's prohibited. You can't get, like as a child, for instance, you can't get any sort of gender mutilation surgery. And there's a lot of this clampdown because of Trump happening nationally. And he says we can get around these state bans.
Zohran himself, who's about to become the mayor of the largest city in the United States, is facing the same attacks that undocumented immigrants just trying to get a job at Home Depot are facing right now. There's no reason at all that we can't use telehealth and mailing prescriptions to people across the country to undermine state bans. The Zohran campaign was always eager to work with us. You know, we're like that. We wrote the platform with him. The team was so happy to work with us on this. And now he's going to be mayor.
Oh my gosh. That evil laugh. I love that he keeps saying, we're like that. We're like this, which makes me think maybe he's not, because that's what you'd say. He's like, oh no, I'm like this with the mayor. I'm like this with the mayor. But they're genuinely tickled by this. And yeah, there is a problem with trying to get around state bans by mailing medication, all of these things. Like, that's not going to work out very well for you. So they want to create a gender hub. They want to use millions of dollars in taxpayer funds in the city of New York to mutilate children. They want to try to blatantly bypass bans around these kinds of procedures, help people who are living in states where these kinds of procedures cannot be carried out. And look, there's a million reasons why this guy would be so bad for New York City. But if they vote the guy in, then they get what they vote for. And I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for them that their taxpayer money is being used to mutilate children. I feel bad for the children, certainly. But for the taxpayers of New York, I mean, if you're going to put a socialist in office who's already said he's going to do this kind of stuff, then you're going to get what you vote for. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. I had to ask you guys about the Sydney Sweeney controversy. And whether it makes you more likely or less likely to shop at American Eagle. So I asked on Patreon, Locals and X, does the Sydney Sweeney ad make you more likely, and the controversy around it, quote unquote, make you more likely or less likely to shop at American Eagle, or no change? Nicole, more likely, less likely, or no change?
I guess probably more likely, actually.
More likely? Okay, but you haven't been there yet? I mean, I haven't been there in absolutely years.
Right.
Yeah,
I like the idea. I mean, their stocks did very well this weekend.
Yeah, I saw a little dip up and down, but yeah, I mean, but, I'd be curious what their Q2 earnings are going to be when they come out.
But yeah, no, I specifically, like you posted, because they didn't apologize and cave to the woke mob, I am all for supporting that. So it's not supporting the ad
per se
or Sweeney. It is because they didn't cave to the woke mob.
100%. Had the ad just come out, that is not an ad that would have got me to buy jeans at American Eagle. It's just an ad, right?
I don't need to see. It's funny because of this poll. I mean, you specified in your post, but does the Sweeney ad, like seeing her boobs or seeing her blue eyes or seeing her jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
No.
No, that's not what makes me.
Yeah. The not caving to the ad or not caving to the woke mom. Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Makes me
wonder. I think you do have to like spend your money with businesses who are. And look, when I went into this American Eagle, they had this like LGBTQ+, like all welcome here sticker, which just annoys me because, of course, people are welcome everywhere. Like that's just such virtue signaling. So do I think it's like a conservative company? No. But positive reinforcement is important as we try to dig ourselves out of this woke mob culture that we've been in for the last like 5 to 6 years. So are they a perfect company? No, I don't think so. You know, I was seeing pictures all over the internet of them supporting like LGBTQ+ trans issues, which I'm fine. I support gay people too. I don't support the radical gender ideology, but not a perfect company, but being willing to stand their ground and say, we're not taking the ad down. In fact, we're going to put 8-foot posters of it right when you walk in our stores, I think is great. Let's see, you guys are split. So like virtually no one said it made them less likely, but it's about half and half. Half more likely, half no change. Gabrielle said, I just bought 2 pair. Good for you. And look, are they the nicest jeans I've ever bought? No. Would I have bought them without this situation? No. Are they fine? Yeah. Will I wear them? Of course, or I wouldn't have bought them. Bill Biz, maybe I'll wear them tomorrow. The Babylon reported historians have uncovered a blue jeans ad featuring Adolf Hitler from 1942. Yeah, Babylon Bee is hilarious. Okay, let's see here. Weiss Castle says, it's been decades since I bought anything in any store like it. And I, you know, frankly, when I was a kid, like I didn't really, you know, shop at American Eagle or what was the other one? Abercrombie and Fitch. Mm-mm. You know, we didn't really have that kind of money. Although it wasn't American Eagle. Or I'm thinking of something else, Aeropostale.
That was like the poor person's Abercrombie and Fitch. Yes. Krissa Barr, I voted no change because I don't normally shop there, but I did go out of my way to shop there this weekend. Oh, that's great. So then it made you more likely.
More likely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vicky, I put no change since I go to AE anyway to shop for my granddaughter. Shop there for her mom and aunt in the same day. Good value. Cute clothes. Daniel, more likely because they did not cave to the mob or offer an apology or backtrack.
Now I just wish they'd carry some full shirts.
Oh, instead of little halfsies? You don't want to show your tummy?
All of them. They're all crop tops.
Yeah. You know the other thing that really pisses me off as a woman? I hate semi-sheer shirts.
Yes.
Like, what? I'm not trying to show my like the Kardashians show their nipples everywhere.
Or like my bra. Rachel and Monica always had their little nip showing.
Right. Like, if you're going to make a shirt, make it. Don't make it see-through.
Please.
Okay? It just bothers me so bad. Mm-hmm. Surfer Guy says, anything I can do to piss off liberals at this point is a win. Reagan on X says, I personally don't wear jeans. I'm a dress girl. But I do like their other clothing, and I appreciate that they stood their ground against the woke mob. My husband wears their jeans, though, so I will definitely go there when he needs a refresh. Hey, I'm a dress girl, too, but I have a lot of jean dresses. I got, like, 5 jean dresses. And I love them. They're, you know, kind of harkening back 90s fashions coming back a little bit.
It like is
jeans
a lot.
Jeans dresses were very 90s.
I actually bought 2 jean dresses this year.
Yeah, they're so cute. Yeah. Oh, you wore that one to that golf charity thing we went to the other day. It was so cute. Yeah, jean dresses are all the rage. They got some jean dresses there.
Denim.
You know what else I'm waiting to come back? So it's sort of a nostalgia thing, right? Oh my God, I loved lime green. When I was in elementary, lime green was my jam. It was around the time where like, smiley faces were big and all that. Yeah, neons and stuff. So I'm like, man, I wonder when people are going to get back into neons. Anyway, so shop wherever you want for jeans, okay? I don't care. I don't care. Apparently the internet's really perturbed by my jean selection.
That's even more fun.
It is. It gives us great content.
It really good does. Good content and like, yeah, that just means you did the right thing.
Of course it does. Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious if you like these jeans. I'll have to wear them at some point this week.
Are they wide leg?
Well, they're just more than boot cut. Just more than boot cut. A little lighter of a wash than I tend to go with. So anyway, people are like, Brandy, move on. We don't care about your jeans anymore.
I'll take a picture of you when you get to work tomorrow so everybody
of my
can
booty.
See you.
I'll be like, I'll do one of those things the girls do where I do a...
No, we'll do you in this.
You know, do you
Sydney
know what I'm talking
Sweeney
about?
Pose.
Where you go, just, you show your butt and then you look over your shoulder. That's what all the girls do. I'm like, who's that picture for? You just look like you're contorting your neck. Like, are you okay? That's just weird.
Are you okay?
Anyway, before we get to viewer comments, questions, and we've got a great closing sanity check for you today. If you are interested in housing policy at all, maybe you're a landlord, maybe, you know, you are a renter who's interested in the direction of housing policy in Washington State, maybe you're a builder, developer, make sure you sign up before it's full for the Engage Conference happening October 22nd and 23rd at Maidenbauer Center in Bellevue. It's being hosted by our friends at the Rental Housing Association of Washington. I will be speaking on a panel called Beyond the Soundbite. My friend Jonathan Cho will be on it with me as well. We're going to talk about the media's horrible coverage of housing policy in Washington State and how has contributed to all the bad laws that have passed, like rent control. So while you're signing up for that, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord, make sure you also sign up to become a member of RHA, rhawa.org, rhawa.org. They can help you navigate as a landlord this complex environment we're in around housing in Washington State. Make sure you're in compliance, all that stuff. Cross your T's, dot your I's. rhawa.org, rhawa.org. All right, let's get to some comments. On the murder outside Pursuit Church in Seattle, Rick Johnson says, crime and violent crime continues in this state because there is zero deterrent, have to make the punishment sting. I agree. I mean, deterrent is such an important part of it. We see this on every level, whether it's in schools where if there's no standards and no punishments, kids just do worse and worse and worse and worse, and we just lower the bar, and we're lowering the bar with society. We're lowering the bar of law and order. I saw this crazy video over the weekend. Maybe we should have played it on the show. These like three brothers, like maybe seven, I'm just throwing out ages, maybe like 7, 9, 11. And they got caught shoplifting and they're like yelling, threatening the store person. I'm like, holy smokes. Like, that's what happens when we lower the bar and teach kids. And these were young black kids. And what do politicians teach them? Oh, the system did this to you. System's holding you down. You can never turn your life around. So that's just what's been instilled in them. It's just crazy. So, Rick, you're so right. Mimi Pentecost. I love the last name Pentecost. It's such a cool last name. I've seen it. I've seen it somewhere else. But I wonder, what's the Mimi? What's the origin of that? Pentecost. Doesn't that just sound cool? Like Mimi Pentecost.
Well,
if that's
a
your real name,
church.
If that's your real name, but, that's like a character in a novel. Well, Mimi Pentecost was walking down to the market, and you know what I mean? It's a good name. Thanks, Brandy. Okay, go ahead.
That's interesting. It's a great, Pentecost means 50th.
Oh, I don't know.
It's Greek.
Maybe it's made up. Thanks, Brandy, for sharing this on the homicide. Can't count on anyone sharing the truth in the news. He changed his life, and thank God he is in heaven. And Two Shoes says they keep... This person's name is Necro Two Shoes, and I can't read it without thinking of necrophilia. What else does necro mean? So I'm only calling you Two Shoes because the name is really weird to me. He says, in regard to gun violence, they keep vilifying the tool and not the idiots that judges keep letting out of jail. I agree. Gun violence, gun violence, gun violence. Because, you know, it's just a gun that just popped out of that Hyundai Sonata, whatever it's called, and shot him. It's just stupid. Mm-hmm. On Bob Just Can't Stop Lying, Bill Biz, $20 super chat. Regarding Ferguson, it's amazing how much information the mainstream media can overlook when promoting a narrative. I agree. And they hate Trump too, so they're more than eager to push the anti-Trump narrative and lift up everything Bob Ferguson says about it, which is why I'm kind of surprised that the Standard is calling him out for focusing too much on what's happening in the other Washington.
Well,
and
he's
not enough
making their job
here.
Hard. That's the thing. Mm. It's making their job difficult. They don't have enough stories to write because he's not giving them enough material.
Oh, all he's talking about is Trump.
As well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric Bath, that's why his approval rating is so low. I don't know. Maybe the media turning on him will keep pushing it down because let's be frank here. The more people know about Bob Ferguson, the less he's going to be liked. Because when you know, there's no way, if you know the truth about Bob Ferguson, that you would support him. I think there's a small, small fraction of the electorate that would say, yep, that's my guy. The guy who lies constantly, who only looks out for his own self-interest. He's not a likable person.
No.
And he's fake. And people want, more than anything else, authenticity.
That's why he only comes out and talks about the things he knows he can get a win from, which is like Trump slamming and whatever.
Oh, 100%.
But the rest of the stuff he stays very quiet because it's not good. It's not likable.
It'll be interesting to see as the media, if they continue up this weird pattern in the last couple weeks of being hard on Bob Ferguson, it'll be interesting to see how that corresponds with his approval rating if it goes down even lower. Because I really think if people know what he's been selling them is absolute nonsense, it's just offensive. And look, it's not like they're going to flip and support a Republican. But there are Democrats out there who aren't lying, self-serving, manipulative asshats. So support a Democrat who's authentic. No. Who
that will run for governor? I don't
know. Well,
I know.
But you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. I'm not telling you that... If I'm not sitting here telling you, don't support Bob Ferguson so you can support a Republican. I know for some people that's just not going to happen. But there's Democrats out there who aren't Bob Ferguson and who don't lie with the ease that Bob Ferguson lies with. Bolt up. Bob thinking crime is dropping is just like Inslee saying he never heard of CHOP. I never heard about CHOP. Gregory Keith Cameron. When crimes aren't prosecuted, the statistics are going to show a decrease. Prosecute criminals, and I bet the numbers would be much different. And it's not just that. Reporting. That's what you're going to say, right?
Well, I was going to say reporting and allowing pursuit. So that did change. And so I think that helps some of the numbers now. It does feel like, I admit it, feels like some of the crime is down, like some of those stories that we've been reporting on. But that's because we allow cops to go after criminals now.
Right.
And so I think that those stories have gone down. But murders, it does not feel like murders are down. It does not feel like shootings are down. It does not feel like people are being held accountable. It doesn't, those like repeat felons, repeat offenders are not, those don't feel like those are down.
Yeah. And the police pursuit thing is important to note because what do we say all along? Those stolen cars that flee from the police, they're involved in strong arm robberies. You know, they're holding up gas stations. They're committing drive-by shootings. And then you have one person or one group of people, and they're responsible for multiple crimes. So before, they could flee, get away with it. They just keep doing these things. Right. So if you're stopping them in their tracks with a police pursuit, then that is going to have a positive result on crime. And who didn't say anything about police pursuits? Who wasn't there advocating to restore police pursuits? Bob Ferguson.
So he can't take responsibility for that in 2024, certainly. All right, on people being big mad about my jeans purchase, Sergeant Buck, imagine reading into something so hard that you render yourself illiterate. Yeah, the eugenics. I heard on Reddit that this was about eugenics, and so I must regurgitate it over and over. Matt Stotchgleck, they need some involuntary commitment. They do need maybe some involuntary commitment. The chick with the mask song, that there might be a good argument there for involuntary commitment.
Right. She's walking around outside with the mask on singing.
It's wrong. So she's shaming her friends who were trying to shame us, but they were shaming us without a mask on. And that was no bueno. Damn it, Bobby writes, the left goes from one shiny thing to the next, kind of like my dog and a squirrel. Yes. Yes. $9.99 super chat from T. Kersey. Thank you. Leland Taylor says, my favorite thing about this show is that Brandy triggers the far left so much that they are beginning to hate watch in increasing numbers. Mm-hmm. I love it. I don't care if you want to hate watch this show. A click. And maybe I'll get through to you. I had a guest on Andrew. Andrew used to probably hate watch me on TV. Thought I was the enemy. And now he's a paid subscriber to Undivided. Building bridges.
You never know when the light bulb's gonna go click
click. I mean, it did for me. It's like, I remember looking at Nicole being like, I'm gonna vote for Trump, and she's like, it happened, it finally happened. It was one of the most joyous moments in Nicole's life.
It really was.
Pretty sure. Okay, we'll get to it. We'll gotta calm down because it's a serious closing sanity check, so we'll take the temperature down a little bit. No more smiling. Well, you can smile, that's fine. First, all of us are just planning for retirement. We're just working so we can die, unfortunately. That's just the system that we're in. It's really depressing. However, you know, if you plan correctly, if you save enough, if you have a portfolio that's actively managed, then you can retire as soon as possible and you can live out your dream retirement. For me, that means living basically off the grid with a bundle full of puppies that I rescue from a local shelter. That's my dream retirement. And so that's what I'm trying to count dollars and cents for and figure out how much money I need to do that. Thankfully, that's probably not a very expensive retirement. But if you're not sure how your retirement portfolio has fared in the last couple of months with everything that's happening in the economy, global unrest, all of that, reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital for a second opinion. It's totally free and you get second opinions on all sorts of things. Why not get a second opinion on something as important as the health of your retirement portfolio? So what they'll do in the free Know Your Risk portfolio review is they'll talk a little bit about your current risk management strategy, whether you're confident in the composition of your portfolio for 2025. Zach will take a look at it, let you know his honest thoughts, and then he'll tell you how they're always at Bulwark Capital looking for opportunities to lower cost, lower risk, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So schedule your free risk review right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. Don't put it off. Go to knowyourriskpodcast.com and totally free again. And I think it just is like a lot of things you'd get a second opinion on, it's just to sort of put you at ease. Maybe your current composition of your retirement portfolio is great, and maybe it's not. And if it's not, you should know about it. So knowyourriskpodcast.com. Okay, so I want to end the show where we began the show. Let's get to our closing sanity check. So we, of course, started the show by talking about the murder of LeBron Giovanni outside Pursuit Church in Seattle last Thursday, and the fact that he was a born-again Christian. He had very recently decided he was going to delete all his old music, talking about gang banging and all of that, because he didn't want to continue to lead other young people astray. And he was going to start producing music about his faith. And he had. So he had posted that July 19th. And in the days between that initial post saying, hey, you know, I'm going to delete my old music and put new music out, in the 2 weeks leading up to his murder, he had put a couple songs out. On July 23rd, he posted a video of one of his newest songs. The title of it is God's Plan is Gold. And I wanted to end in our closing sanity check by playing part of it for you.
First confession, I was so lost. I thought I knew everything, but I was way off. I had demons all around me and I was dancing with them. I let all this darkness in, I didn't know what it cost. Then you awaken me, still feel like I don't deserve his love, but we all do. God has shown me the path to follow, yeah, you know I want to. God's plan is so good, I'm on the floor crying, feeling his mercy, got me saying, whoa, whoa, whoa,
God's plan is gold, grace can't fold, faith stands bold, they'll just smoke and mirror, all them lies get old. Chains can't hold, chains, chains can't hold.
Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, I think a lesson out of this is life is short. It's fleeting. You never know what day is going to be your last day. And so it is never a bad day to start to be the person who you want to be for yourself, for your family, for your kids. It is never too late to start yourself down a better path. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. That has been today's episode of Undivided. If you'd like to support our show, it is how the show is possible from subscribers who pay $5 a month. You can sign up right now, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and just click on the banner that says support the show. And while you're there, make sure to shop our merch store. We've got a new hat that just dropped, red, white, and blue Undivided hat that I think is pretty cool, and some of our old favorites as well. In the meantime, we will see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon. Make sure you follow us across all of our platforms. In addition to our subscription platforms on Patreon, Locals, and X, you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the things. I am not on the devil's Chinese TikTok, however. Maybe one day, under new ownership. All right, see you guys tomorrow.